Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we started singing the last song, some of you might have noticed, Jim came up and lit the candles, and as he was lighting them, I said, you know, you didn't have to do that this evening, Jim. It has been nice and cool in here. Did you know that about 6 months ago this weekend, as we gathered here for worship, we were looking at temperatures about 115 degrees below what we're experiencing today? Think about the conversations you were having back in January at that time. Well, this evening, we're continuing our sermon series on My Life, His Church, on the book of Ephesians. It's going to be an 8-week sermon series, so we're 2 weeks into it. The reason we're doing it, well, the lectionary we follow on weekends is predetermined for us. It's thousands of churches around the world use the same lectionary. Every 3 years, the readings we follow on the weekend repeat. That way we cover a good portion of the Bible in our weekend worship services every 3 years. And right now, we're in a section where the second readings, the epistle readings, are all from the book of Ephesians, and for about 8 weeks, and a good portion of Ephesians is covered over an 8-week period. So I think it's a good opportunity for us to just break from the norm and focus our attention on some of the themes of one book in the Bible. Maybe you've heard this story before. A person went up to a bricklayer and asked him, "So what are you doing?" This bricklayer said, "Well, I'm laying bricks." Kind of not very excited. Well, a person goes up to another person working on the same construction site and says, "What are you doing?" This bricklayer says, "Well, I'm building a wall." Little bit different perspective, isn't it? Well, there's a third bricklayer on this construction site, too. Person goes up to the third bricklayer and says, "So what you doing?" This guy has a lot more enthusiasm than the first two. He doesn't say he's just laying bricks. He doesn't say he's just building a wall. He says, "I am building a temple." Quite a difference, isn't it? As we take a look this evening at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, we see here that Paul is emphasizing the building that God is working on. And the tone of Paul speaking or writing here is not, "Oh, I'm laying bricks. He's not building a wall, but God is building a temple." There's enthusiasm in Paul's words. Paul sees that God is up to something special, something that involves everyone, something that's going to make an eternal difference in people's lives. As God is building his temple, he's not just laying bricks. He's doing something unique and special. There's pride in Paul's words. So if you would please take your worship folder in hand and turn to page 4. And let's together read verses 19 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. Well, again, we're on page 4, starting at verse 19. And let's read these words that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write to us. "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple to the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In verse 19, Paul begins by saying, so then, kind of like saying, consequently. He's referring to something else that he's been talking about. He's in the middle of a thought here. And that thought is that God has done something special by his grace in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that special thing that God has done, God is able to do something else. And that something else that God is doing ties in with this building that God is constructing. Two things happen, Paul says. We are fellow citizens, and we're also a part of God's family. We're fellow citizens and a part of God's family. And as Paul is addressing his readers, he's addressing people who had been Gentiles. You might remember from the Old Testament, with the temple in the Old Testament, that is where God dwelt. Before the temple, it was a tabernacle. That is where God physically dwelt among his people. When his people wanted to offer sacrifices, they would go to the tabernacle or to the temple, depending on what time period it was. You may also remember from the Old Testament that for the Gentile people, remember, a Gentile was not a Jewish person. Anybody who was not Jewish was a Gentile. And so if there was a Gentile who believed in this one true God, and this Gentile wanted to go and worship God, they could go to the temple. But the way the temple was laid out, there was an area called the court of the Gentiles. That meant that is where they could go, and they could go no further. The Jewish people had the privilege of going further into the temple, but for the Gentiles, there was actually a sign, and archaeologists have uncovered a sample of the sign that says, if you're a Gentile, stop here. You dare not go further, or you will be killed. As Paul writes to the Ephesians here, to people who had been Gentiles, he says, it's changed, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's changed. You are a fellow citizen. You are one of God's citizens. I don't know if you've ever been outside of our country, but when you go to a foreign country, in many countries, there are certain things that you cannot do if you're not a citizen. It's the same way in our country, too. Paul says that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, when it comes to citizenship in God's kingdom, you're in. There's no separation between you and others. You're in. You are a full-fledged citizen because Jesus Christ went to the cross and he died for you. Paul also says that because of Jesus Christ, we're part of the family. That God is building us up into his family. You know, what is home like for you? What do you consider home? I suppose it would differ depending on where we are in life. But when we go home, that's a place where we can let down our guard. Where we can be open with others and honest. Where we are comfortable letting somebody else help us. Isn't that what home is? That what home is like? That's what God wants us to experience, as Paul tells us here, that we are a part of his family. Look at verse 22. Paul says, in verse 22, God is telling us that he wants church to be home for us. In him, Paul writes, you also are being built together into a dwelling place by God's Spirit. You too are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. See what God is at work doing among us? And look how the things have changed for the Gentiles. Gentiles, back in the New Testament era, grew up knowing that when they wanted to go into God's house, to the place where God dwells, they could go so far and no further. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, God is saying that he's building us up into something special, a house where God comes and dwells among us. God is with us through Jesus Christ. So God wants church to be home for us. How does that happen? How does church become home? If church is going to be home for us or feel like home, it needs to be a place where the people here love and care for each other actively, persistently, and maybe even tenaciously when necessary. When that happens, it's going to help the church feel like home for each and every one of us. If church is going to feel like home for us, like Paul is talking about in Ephesians, it also has to be a place where we spend time together. And time together more than just an hour on Saturday evening or an hour on Sunday morning. It has to be more, church has to be something more than just a drive-through like McDonald's has. Community doesn't happen in a drive-through. If church is going to feel like home, the third thing that has to happen is we need to be real with one another. Let's take risks and letting others see how we're not perfect, how we're flawed, or see our hurts and our needs so that we can honestly, openly, lovingly, practically care for one another. When those things take place, church feels like home. Going back to this section here in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul describes this building that God is constructing among us. Paul's very clear how it works. He's very clear about the real important pieces, and all the pieces are important. He uses really very definite building terms here. He talks about the foundation, how it's built on the apostles and the prophets. And that's what the community of believers is built on. The apostles are the guys who spent time with Jesus 2,000 years ago, and then Jesus sent them out into the world to start building that church. The prophets, of course, are some of the writers of the Bible. The church is built on the doctrines, on doctrine and teachings, not on any, whatever the current opinion is, or the current teaching, the cult, or public ideas are. The church is built on doctrine of Scripture. Paul tells us, too, that when it comes to us people of God, the living, breathing church, the cornerstone, the most important piece in the construction is Jesus. When a building was constructed, a lot of thought and planning went into selecting the right piece for the cornerstone. If the cornerstone was off square, the whole building could be off square. The church is built around the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And then beyond the cornerstone are all the bricks. You and me. And each of us, as bricks in this building, have a job, don't we? We're not here on accident. We're not a part of the church on accident. We're not part of the church just to be entertained. We're not just a part of the church for the benefit of feeling good about ourselves. God brought us here for His purpose, to do His work. Do you know where you fit in, or where your brick fits into the building? You know, right now we're wrapping up another one of our Family Promise Host Weeks. And, you know, this Family Promise Host Week is one of the many opportunities here at Trinity where we can see how we're all shaped differently and how all the bricks work together. I'm not sure how many volunteers came through the building this past week for Family Promise, but there are quite a few. Some were here for a few minutes. Some were here for a few hours. Some of them fit in by baking a delicious meal. Some of the bricks fit in by sleeping here. Earlier this afternoon, even, we saw another example of how we all work together as one of our members brought together an inflatable jump house with a water sprayer so the children who are staying here can keep cool for a little while in the afternoon and have fun doing it. Well, throughout the week, we all work together. The bricks fit together to do God's work. In the part of God's church, if you're looking to see how your brick fits in, some things you could do. Do a study on spiritual gifts and see where you're at, how God made you. Then also, look around at the needs. Look at our Trinity Gram. Look at Heavenly Happenings and see where the needs are in our church. Pay attention to the needs that grab your attention. And last but not least, try it out. See if that's where you fit in. As we consider the church, my life, God's church, none of us make up the church alone. We each need each other. We are all broken and handicapped and unable to fight the spiritual battle by ourselves. But together, we are bricks that form a wall that not even Satan can knock down. One day in a vacation Bible school, you know, vacation Bible school is another place where we just see the bricks working together. One day in a vacation Bible school class, toward late in the morning, just an hour left in the vacation Bible school morning, a teacher had a new student arrive for a class, well into class. Little boy came to class. This little boy had just one arm. Teacher was caught off guard. It was late in the day. She thought about what she could say to the kids, because she obviously knew that the kids were aware of this young boy's handicap. It was late in the day. She thought she should say something so to break the ice. Should say something to help the kids talk about it, so that they, you know, don't open mouth, insert foot. And also help the new guest feel very much at home. but she couldn't think of anything to say, and again, it was late in the day. So as the last hour of class wound down, the teacher started to relax, let down her guard a little bit. She was trying to say the right words, too. She told her students, you know, it's time for us to end our class today and like us to close with a prayer. And as she did so, she said, okay, class, let's put our hands together now. Let's put our fingers together and make the steeple and, you know, your hands underneath to see all the people. And then she caught what she was saying. She had been so concerned about what the kids might say wrong, and here she was, caught off guard, said something that put her in an awkward position as she remembered the little boy in her class with just one arm. But as the teacher stood there speechless, looking at the little boy with one arm, she saw the little girl sitting next to him. And the little girl reached over with her left hand and she placed it up to the little boy's right hand and said, Davy, it's okay. We can be the church together. Isn't that what it's like to be the church? God taking all of us bricks of different shapes, sizes, and brokenness and using them for his glory. In Jesus' name, amen.